Y'all come on in, find a seat, whatever table you want to sit at, whichever friends, pick your friends wisely, pick corona-free friends. Yeah, we put the Chick-fil-A sauce over the doors already. We're good. Did y'all enjoy the donuts? Weren't those good? If you like donuts, I don't know. If you didn't try the blueberry, that one's awesome, right? That's my favorite. So, hey, thanks for coming tonight. We weren't sure all week long if you would still show up tonight. It's been a crazy week, huh? Like just in the world, right? Maybe in your life as well. The students are probably excited, right? Three weeks off of school. Teachers are excited, right? And it's paid. You got like a month off if you had spring break this week. So, hey, real quick, before we even get into tonight, let me give you an update for this weekend. We'll actually put a video out tonight on our Facebook, and we'll email it out, but you will know ahead of time. We intentionally waited as long as we could to make the decision on what we're doing for this coming weekend, because information was changing so rapidly, and so we just waited. This afternoon, you may have seen President Trump had a press conference, so we wanted to see what happened there. He declared national emergency. We wanted to make sure there was nothing new from the president's office on public gatherings, and there wasn't. And then right after that, I had a call. There was about 60 Albuquerque faith leaders on a call with several of our city leaders. And I also wanted to make sure that if there were any new directives from them, that we weren't making an announcement prematurely. So all that to say that a couple of hours ago, we did decide we are going to have service this Sunday. So we'll put that word out this weekend. And I want you to know, I think that this is an amazing opportunity for the church, not just our church, but for the church. In times of crisis, in times of pressure, in times of anxiety, people are looking for hope. And I think the church is the only ones in the entire world that has the hope right now. I don't think more testing kits do it. I don't think anything else does it. And so we want to open, but we also want to be careful. So our cleaning crew is coming back in tomorrow to prep after tonight to be ready for the weekend. And we're just being cautious and careful. And we're going to tell people, you'll hear on the video, we're saying, look, if you're sick, stay home. If you're high risk, stay home. If you just don't want to risk it, stay home. It's okay. Tune in online. Catch us up there. Catch up with us there. But I'm looking forward, honestly, to gathering and worshiping with you and praying for our city and for our nation. And so I just wanted you to know what was coming up. So why don't we pray right now before we get into anything else? My theory is this. Every leader, from our mayor to our governor to our president to everyone in every department, every leader has been put there by God. They might think that they earned it or that they got their way there. I'm telling you, I think every leader is put there by God. And so agree, disagree with them or their decisions, I'm praying that every one of our leaders would have the wisdom of God for this time. This is a complex situation, but God's in control. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for a chance to gather tonight with amazing friends. Lord, we pray right now for our city and for our state and for our nation. We pray, Lord, for For Mayor Keller and for our governor and for President Trump. Lord, we pray, Lord, for every leader, for every advisor that's being brought in, every partner that's being brought in to help in this crisis. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the peace of our city. You told us to seek the peace and the welfare of our city. We pray for that. Lord, let the peace of God rule and reign here in Albuquerque, and may we be agents of that peace everywhere that we go, that we would bring the peace of God in every interaction, everywhere, every store, every place that we set our feet. May we bring your peace with us. Establish your peace here in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, and across our nation. We pray for every leader that the wisdom of the Lord would be theirs, Lord, that they would be able to make the right decisions in the most timely way. Lord, that you would guide each of them in those decisions that are being made. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that during this time that your church would grow. Lord, that people would find you. Lord, that anxious hearts, Lord, would find their way towards the peace of God. Lord, that worried hearts would look to a Savior. Lord, we're believing you, Lord, that your scripture says that you use all things for your good. We don't see that outcome right now. We don't understand all that's going to happen, but we believe, Lord, that you are going to use this for your good, and we say tonight that we trust you, and it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, hey, I'm excited to be with you tonight. We're going to start off. I have you at tables because we're going to do a mix of some table conversations, and then I'll be leading some discussion. But I want to start out at your tables, all right? So I'm going to give you, you're going to have to be kind of fast, especially some of you who tend to be long-winded. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, and at your table, this is what I want you to talk about. I'm looking for kind of a defining moment for you and your family as it has to do with your experience here at Harvest. So the question is this: what's one thing that's happened in your life at Harvest that you will never forget? What is your defining moment? So if you'll share at your table, and then I'll give you a countdown. I'll tell you when we're closing in on time. You're going to vote at your table who has the best story, and we're just going to hear one story from each table, okay? Does that make sense? So you got about 5 minutes right now. Share with everyone at your table what's your defining moment. What's one thing that's happened at Harvest that you will never forget? Go. All right, if you haven't already, pick who at your table is going to share their story. So I need one from each table, one from each table. Victor and Will, I'm going to start with your table. I'm going to start over here, and we're going to work our way that way, and we're going to use the microphone, even if you don't need it, okay? So, all right, you got about 10 seconds. Make sure you know, looks like all of you do, voluntel someone, you know. I see, Brenda, I think it's you. All right, so who are we hearing from over at this table?
We're hearing from Will.
Give Will a hand. All right, hey, you got about 60 seconds, okay, because otherwise this will take forever, all right? Will, tell us.
Okay, most people know the story, but I'm going to just say it anyways. I found a specific youth. Most people have heard me say the story, so I'm not going to say their name. But the youth asked me for a ride to church, and I kind of say, well, if you want to come to church, show me you'll get here, and I'll get you home. And the next week I come, and I see a youth in the halls. Well, I see somebody, and I get in the church real quick, and I'm like, I don't want them stealing the soundboard or something like that. And it's actually this youth. They chose to stay here from Sunday morning so they could make it to youth.
Wow.
And the thing that's my biggest memory is that's why I like it. Like being here is because the person embodies what I hope everybody's hope is. Mm-hmm. They want to be here, not because they're sentenced or mom and dad brought them or anything like that, that they want to be here.
That's so awesome. That's awesome. Steven, are you at? All right. Here we go. Defining moment.
So we had a collective defining moment. It's the groups that are in this church, whether it be a life group, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be Trail Life. Sorry. You know, all the groups are really inviting, really welcoming, really nice to be there, and good groups to be involved in.
That's awesome.
Ha 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 ha.
All right, who's going at the back table? All right.
Oh, you're sitting at the table?
I think y'all just waited and then pointed.
No, my table actually just all said, we got nothing, and it's you.
They're like, we don't know why we're here.
I know. They put me on the hot seat, so I've got to throw them under the table.
Do it.
I don't know if I've really had a defining moment. I've had many moments, though. I'm a domestic violence survivor, and a lot of the times, you know, feeling so alone. But one of the life groups that I went to, I realized I wasn't alone. And there has been so many connections of other people who've been through different things in recovery. I mean, the sport has just been huge, and absolutely the opportunity to serve and give back has been amazing.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Is it Andrew or Leslie? All right.
Well, you mean Mitch isn't going to talk? Wow.
No.
He's going to talk, just not right now.
I guess for us, Andrew and I had moved here to start a ministry, and Pastor Jason was the only pastor who actually reached out to us and contacted us, and then we needed a place to live temporarily, so we ended up living with Jason's parents for 8 months, and then it's just the hospitality that was shown to us, and before anyone even knew who we were, was just really significant, and it's the reason why we chose to come to this church and to stay at this church, and yeah.
That's awesome.
And because Andrew can play guitar.
That's awesome. Who's at this table?
So I had gotten to the point where for about 7 years, my walk had become dead. I continued to read the word, I continued to pray, but it was like the word was dry. There was no life in my prayer. It was like it was falling to the floor. And I hadn't really, for the most part, experienced Christ's presence in my life again. It like was completely dried up. And then one weekend I come out and I'm in the praise team and we're singing. And I feel his presence all over me, like unexplainable, just beyond. And then that day I go and I work on some sermon prep and write a 6-minute sermon, which I gave to pastors, saying this is the 6-minute sermon that I would have done if I got to do it. And then continued with that. Plus, all of a sudden, my prayer life came alive. I could feel like he was listening to me instead of it was just dead air. And it was just an amazing experience and a great blessing.
Wow. That is awesome.
Thank you, thank you. So, looking at the table, there's a lot of members here that have been here longer than I have. Just to share for me.
Saying they're older than you, or?
They're older than I am.
Not yes.
I'm trying to make it out alive here. You know? So, the very first moment I walked into these doors when Angelica invited me to her church. There was something that I felt. I've been to numerous churches back in California where I was born and raised, and churches here in New Mexico with my mom in different cities. And just the moment I walked into these doors, I felt something. So I can't describe it, but I know that I was meant to be here. And there was a lot of amazing stories, and I appreciate you guys choosing me, but yeah, like he was saying, there was something you can't describe. So yeah. I just thought that was pretty amazing, and hopefully everybody has felt that too. So
awesome.
I thought it was awesome.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you.
Who's going at this table? All right.
Don't clap for me. No. So, wow, I've never talked into a microphone before.
This is a defining moment.
Yeah.
We all get to be here for it. We're so happy.
But,
no.
this youth group is very special because most of the other youth groups I have been to or tried weren't very inviting. Mm. A lot of the other ones I've been to, they didn't talk to me, or maybe an adult talked to me, but that's about it. But here, like, people talk to me, and it means a lot to that's me awesome. That people actually talk to me.
That's awesome. Can we clap for you now? All right. Brenda, is it you?
He's off, but it's okay. We've been going here for 6 years now, and I was telling them we've been to many churches. We've had a lot of tragic in our family, probably in the past 10 years, but I got diagnosed with cancer in December. And one of the biggest things that I can say that helped me, even healing, I was telling them, is having the support of a church. Because we've been through a tragedy that we didn't have no support from a church. And it was horrible to be at the hospital and not have a phone call or a visitor and be involved in the church doing something. So I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is it's helped me heal. Because at least I have a family. And like I told them, I can depend more on my church family than on my own family. So wow. That's been a lot. So thank you, guys.
I love hearing your stories. I really wish we had time to hear everyone's, because I'm sure that this room is full of stories of what God's done through this church. Most of you probably know this story, so I'll tell the short version of it, but we'll celebrate our 30th birthday as a church this Easter, if coronavirus doesn't shut us down, right? 30 years, and the amazing thing is that in the early 70s, the Lord led two men of God to the west side of Albuquerque to buy this piece of property, and it's kind of amazing for me to think about. Because in the early 70s, there was nothing out here, and there was vision from God, and the Lord knew that the West Side was going to expand and grow and boom, and that one day, a whole bunch of us were going to be living on the West Side of Albuquerque. And so from then to 1989, it sat here as a vacant piece of land. 1989, my parents came from the east side of Albuquerque to the west side, and we built over 5 or 6 phases, built the church, and things have been continuing ever since. And I'm so thankful that God called Lisa and I and our girls to move back here 6.5 years ago. I was teasing this table. Thank you. I was teasing this table because I was pretty sure the defining moment was going to be Karen Gleason, because she had told me after, it'd been a little while, but she came and she said, "Pastor, I just need to confess, I did not vote for you the first time around. But I'm glad that you got it anyway." And I thought Karen was going to lead with that moment, but now I'm on the bad list, I know. I'm so glad that God called us here, and it's been such a fun journey. We got here, there was a lot broken when we got here in many, many ways. I'll never forget finding the baptismal tank that we use. It was up in a room upstairs full of stuff. It obviously had been turned into a storage container, and was dusty. And I say that because, you know, what happens in a church as it declines is that they become more and more inward focused, because it becomes about survival. And when that happens, you stop reaching people, you stop leading people to Christ, you stop baptizing people, you stop reaching your neighbors, all of that begins to stop. And That's the broken stuff that's really important. But then the other part is there was a lot broken with our facilities. And I teased that, you know, when we got here, the cracks in the parking lot were large enough that you could lose a small child in them, you know. And there was no working hot water. And about half of the building was still on swamp coolers. And most of those weren't working. And I'll never forget watching week after week students coming out of youth group. That room especially, the AC didn't work. And they'd come out of youth, and it looked like they'd been in a shower. I mean, they were just drenched in sweat. And I'm like, we gotta do better than this. But we had no money to do anything about it. And the Lord has been so faithful, so faithful. God has been so faithful along the way. And I won't rehearse all of it, but we have made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 6.5 years. I remember when we decided to renovate this stage. It wasn't a huge project, but it was green carpet, like the chairs and like that strip, and the walls were all the same. And I remember, because we were still in a phase where there was still a regime of people who were still kind of holding on, like, I don't know if I want to change. And the Sunday that we did this, my mom happened to be in church that Sunday, and after we were starting, we were going to rip the carpet out, and between that Sunday and the next Sunday, we're going to do it all. And I remember I'm like back here talking to someone, and I hear like a little kind of a cheer, and I look, and my mom is on stage, and someone had given her a knife, and she was cutting the carpet. I mean, she was like, let's do this, you know? And that was pretty cool, because my mom was here when we put it in. I'm like, well, she can tear it out, you know? And people were cheering for her. They wouldn't have cheered for me, but they were cheering for her to tear it out. And I remember, because we painted the walls this kind of semi-black color, and there were some people that were upset about it, you know, and they were like, you know, that's the devil's color. And so we planned, some of you will remember this, we planned this. So I got up the next Sunday and I said, guys, what do you think of the stage? And most people were happy and a few were crossed in arms. And I said, well, here's the deal. I heard that this week some of you were not very happy because we painted the walls black and you think that black is Satan's color. And I just want you to know that I've researched it, and black is not Satan's color. His color is red. And at that moment, we had it planned, and a little image of the devil, little like pitchfork devil, came on the screen, and all our lights went red. And I pretended like I didn't know anything, you know, we just kept looking at the audience, and people didn't know what to do. Like, do I laugh? Do I cry? Do I yell? Do I leave? You know? And that's exactly what I want. I was just like, let's just get this over with right now. And I thought, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And I had one of those moments. But it's funny, right? The last several years have not been like that because culture began to shift. Our hearts began to change. We began to say, you know what? We got to reach our neighbors. We got to love our city. We got to, you know, do this giant Easter egg hunt. We got to do Convoy of Hope, and we got to open a food pantry, and we got to start Trail Life, and all of a sudden, vision and dreams began to birth. Well, about a year ago, a dream really began to stir in my heart, and the funny part is it started here, okay? How many of you have ever felt like our lobby was just a little too small? Have you ever felt that way? Did you feel that way tonight when we were eating donuts? Like, do you remember this moment? That was about 45 minutes ago, right? We did that on purpose, just so you know. We intentionally kept you out there because we wanted you to feel the smallness of this space, okay? And here's where the vision started. We were like, what if we could just tear the staircase out? You know, the giant staircase. Like, what if we could tear? And you have no idea how many times I've almost brought a sledgehammer to work and just done it. Like, you just, between Sundays, just I'm so tired of this. And because I play this game, hospitality team, you'll know this, right? Sundays, it's a game, right? People are going to come on the right. Are they going to come on the left? Are they going to come on the right? You know, and so you're constantly chasing people down. So this whole dream began with, could we expand our lobby by tearing out the staircase? And I made the mistake, I shouldn't say mistake, but I started dreaming with another dreamer. And as that happened, I began to realize that the dream of pulling a staircase out was way too small. That really wasn't going to fix our problems because, and I think, I mean, I'm talking to the people who are all in. I'm talking to people who you're already giving of your time and your service and your finance. I know this. We know that church is not a building, right? Well, you know that. That's why every week we say, go be the church. This church isn't a building. Buildings are just a tool, right? But we know that you got to have the right tool, right? I was roaming around while you were telling stories, and Mark Howell was telling his defining moment, and I'll just tell a little piece of his, because we were in a time when nobody from Taylor Ranch was coming to Harvest, and we began to pray. We're like, God, we believe you sent this church in 1989 to come to Taylor Ranch because you wanted to help reach people and send us people from Taylor Ranch. And a few weeks go by, and it's a weird snowy Sunday in the winter. The rare ones where, I mean, like, we've never canceled service in 6.5 years. We never had to. But it was one of those we should have because only like 20 people showed up. And Mark Howell was one of those. Mark and Lydia walked in, and they're from Taylor Ranch. But that's not the point. The point is, I was in a sermon series that week where I had all these power tools all up on the stage. It was part of the illustration that day. And Mark is a manly man. I mean, if you've ever shake those sausage fingers of a hand, I mean, he could just death grip you, you know? And it was so cool because his defining moment was, I walked in and I saw the power tools on stage. That was his language, right? It was like the Holy Spirit was like, this is the church for you, right? I mean, the other 19 people just had to put up with that Sunday because that Sunday was for Mark and Lydia. But the point is, you got to have the right tools, right? You have the right tools. And what I've come to realize is I think we've been really good stewards of the tools that we have, but I think it's time for us to take the next big faith step. So Stephen was teasing me in the lobby. He's like, I think you kind of let the cat out of the bag with all these pictures while we're eating donuts. That was on purpose as well. I hope you saw the illustrations of the dream that's been growing in our hearts. But let me tell you about it, okay? I have a kind of a sentence that helps you, that'll help you understand the dream, and it's this. We want to create an environment to engage our community and equip the next generation so that everyone can encounter Jesus. So this is the vision behind the dream that I want to tell you about. We want to create these environments. So let me just break it down and talk to you about it just for a minute. We want to create environments where we can engage our community. Let me just tell you that one of the things I'm the most proud of as the pastor of Harvest is the way that we love our city. I am so proud. I'm just telling you, I love that we are a church that leverages every resource we have to love our city. We could go on and on and on, all the things we've been able to be a part of, but here's what I want to say, is I think we can create a better environment so that we can continue to engage our community at an even higher level. And so a couple of pieces of this are that our dream is to be able to update the exterior of our building, and I think I want you to connect the vision to this, okay? We don't just want a pretty new facade. We want to be, you know, I have this image in my head of like the church on top of the hill, the lighthouse on a hill, right? I want us to be a focal point in our community. You know, I think that what has happened is we've been here for 30 years. Almost nothing has changed on the outside of our building. People drive up and down Montaño. They pass by, and they've forgotten that we even exist. We need to let the community know, hey, we're here, we love our city, we love our neighborhood, we want to beautify our neighborhood, we are here, and we have something to offer. And I really believe that what we have on the outside really will tell the community that. So you'll see that the dream includes tearing out the stairs and tearing out that front kind of semicircle and expanding that out and putting a big modern, we're calling it an atrium because I just like that word, a big atrium out there, lots of glass, put our logo up top. I mean, just really let our community know that we're there. I think this is part of engaging in the community. Here's the other part, is that the dream also includes a space on the very back of our building that we're calling a gathering space. So what it is, you'll see in this picture, is adding on a back patio space with two garage doors that will open up into a gathering space that looks somewhat like this. We don't know exactly, but something like that. So, for example, this is where our food pantry would happen. Where are my food pantry people at? Okay, so y'all would be a little bit excited about this, right? So right now, if you've never come to food pantry, by the way, you should. At sometime, some month, third Saturday of the month, except for this month, third Saturday of every month, you need to come to Food Pantry. And it's crazy. People line up at the back door. They come in. They go into a classroom. They come back out. They wait by the kitchen. They go into the youth room. They circle around, and then they go back. It's just ridiculous what they have to do. So part of this, to engage in our community better, is we'd have a covered patio. They'd line up out there. We'd open the garage doors. They'd come in. They'd get the food. The food pantry would be right off of that area, so, you know, much easier access. You know, they'd come in. They'd get their food. They'd go right back out. But can you imagine? Can you imagine all the things that we can do with a space like that? Food pantry is just the easy one because it's one we're already doing, right? But there's so much that we could do with that space. And so these are just some of the things that we want to be able to include to be able to engage our community at a higher level. The other thing we want to do is we want to equip the next generation, okay? A lot of our next generation for this night are sitting right here. I just want y'all to know that I believe in you so, so much. I'm so thankful that you're here. I love that you sit. I don't know why you sat here and you normally sit there, but I love, you're throwing me off. I love that you sit right up front. I love that you worship. In fact, I'll just pretend the adults aren't listening. You put the adults to shame when it comes to worship. I love that you sing and you clap and you lift your hands. And listen, I want you to know that I am deeply, deeply invested into equipping you and your friends and the generation coming behind you. I want you to know how, I mean, I'm telling you, it is so important to me that we are a church that's equipping the next generation. So here's what we want to do is the middle part of our building, that's the original worship space. Where our kids meet right now is the original worship space, meaning it's the oldest space. We have done some updates, right? But that's where we're going to start for the next generation. What you're seeing here is actually an entrance that will be right at here where our office entrance is. So as soon as you walk in, you would see a kids' check-in area. So here's why that's important. Right now, if you're a guest, you come in these doors. Let's pretend you come in these doors. You have to go all the way down this hallway, all the way down this hallway, all the way down that hallway. And by the time you get to the kids' check-in, you're like, I don't know if I want to leave my kid here. like if there's a fire, I don't know if I could find them again, right? Like, and some parents are like, thank goodness, maybe I'll never find them. But so what we want to do is we want to move the check-in all the way out to the front door. Right behind the check-in will be an indoor playground. We've done a great job with the space we currently have, but it's time to upgrade that. So there'll be an indoor playground. And then the entire kids' wing, every square inch of it will be updated. Every square inch. There's a couple more pictures. This shows one of the, so we'd have two what we're calling large kids' spaces. Both of them together, they'll both be a little smaller than our current one because we'll have two of them. And so this is just a rendering of what it could look like. There'll be two of those. There'll be some small group spaces. There'll be some different spaces there. But all of that will be new, and that's the family entrance. So that'll be right out here where our offices currently are. Then if we go to the back, we've already showed you what we're calling the gathering space. So that will also function as kind of a pre-service space for the youth group. And then the youth room itself will also be completely remodeled. So that space will feed straight into the youth space. And here's what's really cool is from right out here, you will be able to walk all the way down and access the kids space or the youth space. So right now, some of you know, it's a big maze, right? You going here and there and all the way around. All of it will connect. It'll be really easy, really accessible, brand updated everything. It'll be absolutely amazing. All of this is because I want us to be positioned to better reach the next generation. Does anyone agree with that? And then the other thing we want to do is we want to create a place where everyone can encounter Jesus. Now, I want you to know that my desire is that every single week, every service, everything we do, that people are finding Jesus. That's what this is all about, right? And so one of the things we want to do is we want to do a lot of work in this space, in the main worship space. Some of you will know this better than others. Our musicians, our worship team will know this better. Our sound and media team will know. This room is awful when it comes to sound. It wasn't ever designed in the right way. The glass on the balcony creates a problem with sound bouncing back off of it. The space behind the balcony, so some sound's bouncing off, others going behind and getting trapped and going back into the lobby. We have no acoustical treatment. It was never really properly acoustically, you know, sound engineered. There wasn't a plan. If you sit, you know, under what I call the cave, you know, it sounds different there. It's just a total nightmare. So what we're looking at for our worship space is to take the sound booth off, because that sticks the furthest out, drop that down to the main floor. So sound guys, Billy, you'll understand that's going to give you the best possible seat to be able to adjust the sound accordingly. We'll bring in the right partners to help us to get everything set right. We're going to redo the balcony and kind of see that in these pictures, take the glass out, get rid of those weird pods that are up there, and put a back wall back there and put the acoustical treatment in. You actually want to create a little bit of a backstage back here. I don't know if we have a good picture. You can kind of see there the wall that the screen's on. There's some doors there. That would go to a backstage that would then have access back to the lounge where, like, our worship team is pre-service, getting ready so they can come in, you know, and they don't have to come across the stage. They can actually come. So, like, when, for example, right now when the worship team comes up, you know, and it's, like, right at the end and it's all serious and we're about to give an altar call, you know, and right now I'm not worship team. Listen, it's not your fault. We don't have any other option. But right now it's like the Spirit of God, it's all quiet, and then the worship team's like a herd of cattle, just, you know, all like running up on it, because we don't have another way. All right, it's not your fault. I already said that. So we have a way where they can go to the back and then come on. Like, have you ever been in a service where, like, you're like, how did they, like, they disappeared? That's what we want. We want the worship team just to come out and, you know, they do their part. And so we want to create a worship environment, right, where it's a little easier. Now listen, I'm talking to mature believers, okay? Hopefully I am, Angela. Why'd you laugh so much? Mature believers can worship in any environment, right? Mature believers can worship whether there's smoke or there's not smoke, light, not light, hot, cold, doesn't matter. Mature believers can. Immature believers and unbelievers need a better environment or they're distracted from what's happening in the presence of God. Do you believe that? So we want to create a space where people can encounter Jesus on a regular basis. So here's what we're going to do. There's some phases to this. I'll just walk quickly through kind of some of the logistics. I'll try to answer a few questions. By the way, if you have a question, write it down. There will be a Q&A before we leave, so you can ask that. But here's what we want to do. Four phases. Phase number one would be the exterior and the worship space and the atrium. Phase two, there in the middle, will be our kids' space. Phase three will be the gathering space for the outreaches and the youth space. And then, I haven't talked about it yet, but phase four would be our administrative offices. So right now, our offices are right out here, but what's going to happen, and I'll probably show you a floor plan at some point, is that we're going to open up our lobby even more, is we're going to relocate the restrooms to be where our offices are right now so that all of that can be nice and open. So if that's where our offices are, then our offices have to move somewhere. So what we've decided is the best place for our offices is upstairs. What we want to do is we want to maximize the first floor because that's the most used space on a Sunday or any other day of the week. In other words, it's okay if we have to climb stairs every day, right? But I don't need, we don't want to ask the people who are coming to, you know, events, you know, to have to go upstairs. By the way, this question came up. This will only mean something to you if you've been here, you know, for 20 years or more. But part of this plan is if you've been here 20 years or more, you'll know we have an elevator shaft that was put in when the building was built. And every pastor has promised an elevator. And I'm telling you, I'm the one that's going to deliver the elevator, all right? Actually, where's Anthony? Anthony's the one. He's going to get us one for free. He totally told me that. I don't know. We're praying, right? We're praying for that. So the administrative offices will move upstairs. Some of you may not even know we have an upstairs, okay? If you go up these stairs, that space all along that wall and all along that wall, there's classrooms all back there right now. So all of that will become our office. Here's what that also means is that we'll have more office space than we currently have because, I think you'll like this, I think our church is going to grow. Do you believe that? We're going to need more staff. We're going to need more volunteers. We're going to need more administrative room. By the way, I can't miss this. I'm going to back up for 1 second. You don't have to follow me with the slides. In our worship space, in not just are we going to make it better, but we're going to make it bigger. So our plan is that with the modifications, we're going to be able to add between 100 and 120 more seats than we currently have. Again, because we're planning to grow the kingdom of God. Does that excite you? All right. So that's how we're going to do it. Four phases. So how do we go all in? Okay. I've been telling you, this is our all-in year. How do we go all in? Well, our theme verse, do you want to say it with me? Our theme verse? Yeah, because you need to say it with me. Why don't we say it together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we go all in. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think heart connects to our treasure. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So part of going all in is this question. What level of generosity is God calling you and your family to? I can tell you the advantage of being behind the scenes is I've got about a year head start on you. I've been praying for a year. Lisa and I have been praying, God, what are you calling our family? What level of generosity are you calling our family to? And I'll just tell you, he's put a number in our hearts that is big and scary, but big, scary numbers require some faith. And so it's big and scary, but it's also exciting. Don't you love that part of walking with the Lord, right? It's like, man, it's big and scary, meaning this is God's got to show up in this, right? So I don't know what God's going to call you to do. I'm not going to tell you. The question is just this: God, what are you calling me to do? Well, I'm in with all my heart. Heart's connected to treasure. God, what are you calling my family to do when it comes to generosity? Then he says, love the Lord with all your soul. Okay, all your soul. I think that this really comes down to prayer. The question is, will you commit to pray with us? That's really my big ask of you tonight, is will you pray with us? By the way, our plan is, okay, I'm bringing you in a little bit early. Our plan is that next Sunday on the 22nd at State of the Church that we will announce this dream, okay? Now we'll just say this, okay, that the scripture is clear. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We've been planning this. We had no idea that coronavirus was going to hit the nation this week, right? I have a coach who's coaching me through this process. I called him this week and I said, so have you ever coached a church through a campaign like this in the middle of a pandemic, right? And here's what I'm saying is we're planning on the 22nd to announce this. But we're gonna monitor what happens this week, and we're gonna be sensitive to what's going on. But the plan is that we'll announce on the 22nd, and here's what I'm asking you. On the 21st, which is a Saturday night, I'm asking everyone that will to join me for all-in prayer. I want to bathe this in prayer. We already have, okay, as a staff and as a board. Now I'm inviting you. Would you join me? Here's kind of what the Lord put in my heart. I want us to say things to God on the 21st before we say them to man. Does that make sense? I want us to pray it before we say it, all right? So I'm asking you, and I know it's short notice, but if you can join us on the 21st, would you join us as we commit to prayer? Then the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. I think this has to do with focus. So here's going to be the challenge, okay? I love new vision. I love starting things, okay? When I was in business, I was always starting new businesses. Lisa called me a serial entrepreneur. I love starting things, okay? And this is how I'm wired, is as soon as I start something, I tend to forget the other things that I already started. Are you following me? Here's what's going to be required. We can't stop being the church while we're creating these environments, right? So it's going to require an intense amount of focus, because we got to keep having Sunday services and keep doing worship team and keep doing life groups and keep doing food pantry and keep doing, you follow me? We got to keep doing all the stuff we're doing, and now we're adding to it all in, right? That's kind of what we're calling this, all in. We're adding this project of creating the environments so that all of these things can happen. So it's going to require focus. And so, you know, the question there is, will you engage? Will you engage with us and here's what I need you to do. I need you to stay committed to your dream team, but I also need you to show up when we have a work day. Does that make sense? Like, it's going to require that amount of focus, and it's not going to be forever. It's going to be about a 2-year process is what we're estimating, but I'm going to need you to help me stay focused, all right? And then the last part is this, is he says, love the Lord with all your strength. This really, I think, has to do with service. Every one of you have gifts and talents and abilities that you can add to this process that will make it better, faster, cheaper, stronger. I'll pick your adjective, right? And so the question is, will you add your gift, your ability, your talent to help us to advance this God dream? So some of you have been thinking this question since the moment you saw the drawings in the lobby. Your brain's trying to figure out, so how much is this dream going to cost? Have any of you been thinking that? Any of you? Or you just trust? Guy, I knew you would. Anyone else? I knew. Guy was on the board. He's wired to think this way. Okay, so here you go. I'm going to tell you the number, but you have to promise me not to freak out because I have to explain it to you. Do you promise me? Do you promise? Come on. All right. All in is a God-sized dream. That's going to require $3 million over 2 years. Now, you didn't freak out, right? Because you promised that you wouldn't. So let me explain it to you, okay? Because when I explain it to you, it's going to make a lot of sense. So here's what the graph looks like, okay? So for perspective, 2019, our ministry budget, okay, was $550,000, okay? So what we've done is in the $3 million, we're including ministry budget for 2020 and 2021. So what we've done, 2019 was 550. So then we're saying 2020, we're bumping up just a little, and we're saying 600,000. And then 2021, we're bumping up another 50 to be 650. So what I'm saying is the 3 million includes our ministry budget for the next 2 years. So that's 1.25 of it, which means that the project itself is only about, I say only, okay, only 1.75, okay? So here's what you need to know, okay? We are going to be raising money, but we also have been talking to lenders to be able to borrow the necessary funds. In other words, we're not going to wait to do this until we raise 1.75. We don't have time for that. We got to keep moving. We got to keep advancing. We got to keep reaching people. We got to grow, okay? So what we're going to do is it's going to be a mix, right, of money raised and money borrowed. Now, so you know this. My desire is to borrow less money. Is anyone with me on that? Okay. I mean, I would love to raise the whole thing. In fact, a few of us have been praying that just crazy God stuff would happen, right? Last week, I was at a conference with a bunch of my friends in Dallas and about, I don't know, 1,700 pastors. And I was talking to a couple of friends that just finished. They're in Houston. They just finished a remodel. I said, well, how did it go? And he's like, oh, it was fantastic. I said, well, how did you raise money? He goes, man, we really, I mean, we just, all we did is we got up one Sunday and said, here's what we want to do. And people started giving. I'm like, so there wasn't like a big presentation or, you know, you didn't give them donuts or anything like that, you know? And he's like, no, we just told people what we wanted to do. And check this out. They started talking about the vision, and he told me a couple of stories. He said, one guy called me one day, and he said, Pastor, I'm online, and I'm trying to give, but it won't let me give the amount of money that I'm trying to give. And he's like, well, how much money are you trying to give? He goes, like $750,000. He's like, excuse me? He said, just bring me a check. I'll take care of it, right? Couple weeks later, the same guy calls and says, Pastor, I have another $250,000. Do you want me to give that online? He said, no, bring me a check. Okay? So one guy gives $1 million. Okay? Another guy, young man, a couple of years before came to his pastor. So the church was just getting started. And this young man he was one of the few with a stable, really good paying job, and he was a tither. Okay? And he comes to his pastor. He says, Pastor, I feel like the Lord's telling me to leave my job and start a business. And my friend, this is pastor talk. I'm just letting you in. My friend, he said, on the outside, I was telling him, go for it. That's awesome. And on the inside, I'm like, oh, my God, you're one of our only tithers, right? So this is about 3 or 4 years before everything. They announced their vision. And about 6 months into this, he sells his business. And he comes in, he says, Pastor, I've got a tithe check from selling my business, hands him a check over lunch, and you know, he doesn't look at it, and he gets back to the office, opens it up, it's another $500,000, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to have those stories. We're going to have stories. I don't know what they're going to be, okay? I would love if we don't have to borrow another penny. We've actually been very aggressively paying down our debt over the last 6 years because I hate having debt. But I know that we have to leverage everything we have for the kingdom of God. So I'm not afraid of it, but I want to do this wisely. So here's a statement you'll probably hear more than once over the next couple of years. How fast is this going to happen? Okay, here's the statement. Vision moves at the speed of our generosity. How fast are we going to do this? I don't know. It depends on our generosity, right? How fast are the phases going to come? I don't know. It depends on our generosity. We're going to move at the speed of our collective generosity. I want you to know I'm okay slowing things down. I'm okay speeding things up, right? We're going to move at the speed of our generosity. When are we going to start? The plan is to start by the end of this year, okay? So late 2020 is when we would love to start phase one. What you need to know is that we've been planning this. I've been working on it for about a year. We've already engaged with an architect. He's a phenomenal, it's a phenomenal firm. I like saying this because I think it's pretty cool. We're the smallest church that this architect has ever worked with, okay? These guys are working with big, big, big churches. And so we're getting the benefit of like all the big church work that they're doing and the design and the expertise, but they're helping us. And it's just a God thing. I don't have time to tell you the whole thing, but we've had an architect. We just hired mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers. So they're starting to investigate our current infrastructure and look at what it's going to require to make the changes. So here's what I'm telling you. We've been kind of moving along a little at a time. We've just kind of been, you know, as we could afford it, we've been doing the due diligence to get ready. Because here's what I wanted you to know. By the time I'm bringing it to you, this is not just a pipe dream. This is something that is achievable, okay? We're going to do this, okay? Well, we're going to do it if you're with me, I guess. All right? Angela, we're going to do this, all right? So the goal is by the end of this year that we would be able to start. So, I hope that I've appropriately brought you into the vision. You may have some questions. I will say this. I want to open up for questions. If your questions are nitty-gritty, meaning what color are the walls? I don't know, okay? What kind of countertops? I don't know, all right? What kind of chairs? Ones that are not green, okay? I do know that one. I do know that one. There's detail. There's a lot of detail we don't know. But if you have a question, I would love to at least try to answer it. But if you do, we're recording this just so we'll have it later if we need it. So if you have a question, raise your hand. Jason will bring you the microphone, and that way we can hear the question and then the answer. Ashley, go.
Can you tell everybody here the story of the younger people that you guys switched out with churches to do some...
Oh, yeah.
That's I like that story. That helped kind of put things in perspective.
Yeah, you're talking about the secret worshipers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it was about a year and a half ago, a year ago. When you were one of our secret worshipers. When was that? Do you remember? I don't know. A year and a half ago-ish? Okay. Will was one of them. So we partnered with another church, Church Alive. I can tell you that now. And what we did is we sent a couple of people over to their church, and they sent a couple of people to our church, but we didn't know when they were coming or who they were, right? So that's why we call them secret worshipers. And then we had, it was about a 10-page questionnaire, and we asked all kinds of questions. We talked about, you know, like, what did you see when you pulled in, and how was the kids check-in? What did you think of worship? What did you think of the preaching? What did you think of the coffee? I mean, we asked all kinds of questions, and so they filled out these questionnaires. I didn't know who they were. I didn't even know when they came, and then the pastor shared that with me, and I shared it, ours with them. And one of the things that came up, there were a few things that are interesting, but one of the things that came up, it came up a couple of times, was basically this, that who they thought we were by reputation, and then who we were when they showed up, was incongruent with what they saw when they got here, okay? And it wasn't that we were not who we said we were. It was like, I didn't expect it to look like that. You looked like the building looked older than what I thought it was going to look like. You know, it was things like it was almost like they were trying to match, right? Like, you have this reputation in the community, and that's not what I thought I was going to see when I showed up, right? And there were some things like that. And it was funny. They talked about our green chairs, and I'm like, amen, right? They talked about our little tiny lobby and our big giant staircase, and I'm like, amen, right? They talked about our awesome hospitality team, and I was like, amen, right? Yeah. They talked about our incredible kids pastor, and I'm like, oh, yeah, right? there was a lot of good there, right? They weren't being negative or mean, but what it did, this was pretty early in the process, is it really helped me to see people from the outside are seeing some of the same things that we're seeing that we need to improve. Does that make sense? Did I get it? Was that good? All right. What else? Questions? Billy? Not really a question.
So it's not really a question for me. It's just basically with anything that you guys need, mechanical, HVAC, anything like that, I have amazing contractor pricing. Whatever you guys need, we can talk further.
Yes.
You guys can go through my company on that. Awesome. We're at about, from list basically down to what we buy, we're at anywhere between 30 to 45% below list.
Awesome.
On
this
whatever
is why we're
need.
Recording this, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Not teasing.
I'm offering 100%, man.
I know you're good for
but
it.
Yeah, anything you guys need, we work with Ferguson, Johnstone, tons of other companies that you guys have here.
Yeah.
I have connections with all of them because we're reps with them for a lot of their products that they sell. So if you've got any questions, my company's more than willing to offer that.
That's
up,
awesome.
By all means.
That's awesome. By the way, did you have a question? Okay, so why are you going to Anthony? So here's the deal. The 1.75 for the project, that can obviously come down based on things like this, right? So as we, right, add free elevators, right, free faucets, amen? Amen?
That's saying anything now.
Free countertops. Disc, right? That number will come down, right? Anthony.
I really don't have a question. I just wanted to state something, Mitch. This vision, you guys, is we've been hanging on to it for a while, and you know, being able to not discuss it with everybody is really hard, you know, because everyone's all excited when but you guys didn't know about it. Some of you did, but when this first came up, my heart just went overboard with Jason, because I believe in his visions. And I believe what he wants to do for the community. So I hope every single one of you feel the same way I feel about being all in, because my family is going to be all in with this project. So if you're feeling what me and the board are feeling, we hope that you guys just jump on board and let's just run with it, guys. Let's build this community and let them see us for what we can be. And not just the building, but everything inside. Yeah. So I just hope that all of you guys are all in, like my family and I are all in.
Awesome. Thank you, Anthony. Angela? Angela, and then we'll come back to Mitch.
I just had a question about how, I was just curious about the construction and how that's going to impact service.
Yes, thank you. Imagine that you're remodeling the house that you're living in, okay? So what's going to happen, we're still working out some details, but in a nutshell, because we'll start here, we will move out of this space while this space is being renovated, meaning more than likely we will worship in the kids' space and the kids will move to the youth space. That way, when we move back in here, the kids are already in the youth space and we'll renovate the kids' space. Then we'll move them back into the kids' space. Youth will be probably in here or in there, and then we'll be doing that space, and then the last one will be the offices. So, but that also means, for example, because this is first, the bathrooms will go to the offices, so one of the first things will happen is we'll move our offices upstairs, but unrenovated. We'll just move into classrooms and just make do while we're doing all of this, right? So I'm so glad you asked that, but there'll be a lot of just moving around, move out of a space, fix it, come back in, do another space, and that's part of the phasing of it as well. So it's gonna be a little inconvenient for a while. I think that if we do it right, we can actually capitalize on that and create some momentum. While we're out of here, we'll be giving updates every Sunday or a couple of Sundays, you know, show you some pictures and here's what's come in and here's what's happened and, you know, here's the new elevator that Anthony did, you know, things like that, you know. So, Mitch.
I feel like I want a 10-year guarantee that you're not going anywhere, you know. That's what I want to make sure, you know. If I'm going to sign off on this thing here, I want 10 years with my good friend.
Hey, so I will say this, because I do think it's important. When we started the discussion with the board, Lisa and I really, we felt like we had to do some soul searching to ensure that this is a vision that we could see through. And so when we started the discussion with the board, I just said, hey, I just want you guys to know that we're not going anywhere. Now, I mean, we're all in. We have no intention. We've turned things down. This is where we want to be. And I felt like it was important for the board to know that. And I think it's important for you to know that as well. So we're all in. Who else? Mark.
I don't know if you all were at the special business meeting. I am an advocate of Pastor Jason. Just want to say that. Karen asked me today how long we've been here, and I looked at it. It was December 2013 when we showed up, and that was right, you know, after Pastor showed up. They had prayed for Taylor Ranch people to come, but I just want to say this man is growing in God. He's got a big weight on his shoulders, but I'm an advocate, and I'm along with Anthony, with the rest of the board members. We are excited about this, and it's been, like Anthony says, it's been hard to hold on to this without telling people. We're just like, oh, you know, coming, we know this, and then word's getting out. But anyway, I just want to say I'm an advocate of that man right there.
Thank you, Mark.
So how would we go about as far as, like, because some of us have a construction background and can do things.
Yeah.
So trying to see how all that might work out.
Yeah. So we don't have a full construction set of plans yet. We have four plans. They're still being revised right now. Once we have a closer, you know, construction set, then here I'm just gonna volunteer this because I think he'll be all right with it. But I'm gonna say if you want to talk specifics about adding value through your service, to talk to Jace about it. Pastor Jace is a contractor, so he'll be able to speak your language. He'll start a list of who's talking to us about what, and that way when we get to that phase, we could give you a set of plans for you to look closer at it and start thinking through those details. And then, you know, we'll have to figure, I mean, there's a lot to figure out, but at least that way we'd have kind of a database of who wants to be involved and in what way. Cool? Jace, are you good with that? All right, Jeff.
I mean, yes, I have to say it in the mic so you can hear me.
Well, I got a question about money. When you were showing your slide, mm-hmm. there was the $650,000 for ministry budget and the other $650,000. Mm-hmm. Is that money that we normally would use for ministry, you know, the Easter egg hunt, the Convoy of Hope, all that kind of stuff?
So, in essence, that is our annual budget for all ministry that happens at Harvest. So that's everything we do in a calendar year, right? So what we're saying, so the reason that breakdown is important is, in reality, that 1.25, that's what we're already doing right now just through regular, you know, consistent, faithful tithe and offerings, right? That's why I wanted to break that down a little bit. Is that is already coming in, and that's what we're using to do what we're doing as Harvest. Does that make sense? So that's everything. That's Sundays, that's trail life, that's egg hunt, that's trunk or treat, that's pastoral staff, salaries, that's operating budget.
My question is, are we putting off doing some of these other things for 2 years?
No, because what you'll see, we're going from 550 to 600 to 650. So we're actually building in a little bit of growth over those 2 years. We're not stopping anything ministry-wise. You know, I mean, unless God gives us a new strategy, right? Like this year, we felt like we were, which, by the way, this is just cool. Before coronavirus, we felt like the Holy Spirit led us to do community, you know, neighborhood, you know, Easter parties, right? We had no way to know. We would not have been allowed to do the giant Easter egg hunt that we had done the last many years. That would have been shut down like that, right? Because we had thousands of people coming to it. So the Holy Spirit gave us a strategy before we even knew, right? So I just say that to say we're still, like, we're going to keep doing everything we're doing. Ministry, this is so important to me. The ministry of Harvest cannot slow down while we do this. In fact, I believe the ministry has to somehow accelerate while we're doing it. That's the part of the focus, right, that I was talking about. We got to keep doing this while we're doing this, right? They're both got to keep going. So, Jennifer, I'm just because we're on this side of the room.
So the slides, that's what I wasn't understanding. You're talking about what we already have budget for everything. That's not going towards the construction.
No. Construction is 1.75.
So you just brought that up to let us know what's going on normally.
So yes, yes, and no, okay? So I'm going to get ahead of myself for just a second. On your way out, you're going to get a couple of things because I want you to be able to start looking at them and praying. One of the things you're going to get is our commitment card, commitment envelope. And what you'll see, I don't want to get too bogged down in this. I'll be talking about it more in other settings. But what we're doing is we're moving to something called One Fund. So I'm not going to be asking you for a building campaign pledge. So the church I grew up in, you had a missions pledge and a trail life pledge and a girls ministry pledge and a youth. I mean, it was just, you just pledged every stinking department. And then when it was time to build, you added, right? So what we're saying, what you'll see on the commitment, you'll see a blank to fill in what I normally give in a year. And then you're adding to that my expanded annual generosity to all in. Okay, so what's my level of generosity? You add those together, and this is a two-year commitment. So whatever that number is, times two. Then we have a spot because I believe you're gonna have the capacity to give out of current resources. God may say, "Hey, I want you to sell this, or I want you to give that, or I want you to do whatever." And so there's a spot there that if God asks you to do something, so you'll do your 2 years plus what God's asking you to give in addition to that, and then if there's a one-time gift to kind of help get things started, and that's your two-year all-in commitment. Right? So that's why it's important to understand the graph before, because what you're saying, here's the beauty of One Fund. When you give under One Fund, you're participating in all the stuff we're already doing. You're participating in missions. You're participating in the building. You're participating. I mean, you're part of every single thing that we're doing. I heard someone last week at the conference, he said, he was talking about his church, but it could have been ours. He was like, "I love giving to my church because when I give to my church, I'm feeding the hungry, I'm helping the schools, I'm helping the foster kids, I'm doing missions, and that's the beauty is we're saying, hey, look, we're all in for everything, right? When we give, we're helping expand the kingdom in every capacity. Anything God calls Harvest to do, it's all part of the same fund, right? So that's why the chart, the pie chart is showing you here's the next 2 years of ministry, but then here's what the project itself is going to take. And of course that project is phased out over whatever time. And we're saying 2 years, but again, the vision moves at the speed of our generosity. Does that help? Okay. And we can talk more, after, and I'm sure there'll be more. There's some over here, or I explained it. Awesome. Anything else? Questions? Will? Justin, were you raising your hand or are you pointing? Okay.
I know you can't give specifics and stuff, but I remember you mentioning about more chairs in here, and that's, do you have an approximate number that we're going to be able to sit in the sanctuary? I'd like to have that number because that equals souls.
Yes. Give me a second. Give me a few. So the plan currently shows 400 on the floor and 150 in the balcony. So a total of 550. And our current is like four, low fours. So can you go to is there a decent one of the worship space, Tyler, where I can talk about seating? That one will work. So part of what you'll see is we're getting rid of the center aisle. And then part of that space will be taken up with the sound booth, but then we gain a whole bunch of seats there in the center. And then part of it has to do with the spacing and just the number of aisles and all that kind of stuff. And then we gain quite a bit in the balcony by getting rid of those pods. So basically it'll just be one, big row across there. And there, there's a couple aisles, but there's not those. We lose so much space up there. A lot of you haven't been up there much because we don't use it right now. But so we're also gaining seats up there as well. So 550 church rules say that you'll get to about 80% of capacity, and at 80% of capacity, people start getting uncomfortable, and you kind of cap out. So that means our capacity really is about 440. And then you think about in two services, right? So very easily in two services, we could be running, 700, 900, somewhere in that range. And then we'll just, plant a campus or add a service or build a skyscraper. I don't know. So, Guy?
If you'll allow me for a second, how many were here before Pastor Jason and Lisa came? Five or six. Karen and I have been here 22 years. Our neighbor, or the individual we bought the house from, told us about the church. We came. Here we are, 2020. I did serve on the board previously, and the real reason we are here is if you could see a picture of Karen and I when we were married. We were young, good looking.
We're still good looking.
Full of joy. We're still full of joy. And God showed me at one time, he showed me a picture of a family with many, many kids, grandkids, and God said, that's you. And we have stayed in this church because many things of what everybody said, we're loved here. Our kids are loved here. Our youth are loved here. We love this church because we're part of the family. And when I served on the board with Pastor Jason's father, I stood right about there where that hallway is, and he gave me the verse saying that before we built this building, we came out at a board meeting and prayed in the parking lot, which was about where that door is, because you could drive up, we had an overhang, you could drive up, get out, not be in the rain, and go in, and it had a circle driveway. And God gave me the verse right there one night as we were praying that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the things that God is going to do. So the reason I mention all of this is it really shows what God is doing here today is an answer to prayer for Pastor Jason's father and for the decade of harvest, the men that bought this property. So this is going to happen. And this is what we need to do. We all need to be all in order to fulfill God's words that he promised those two men that bought this property. When they stood out here in 1990 when they opened, but in 1989 when there was nothing here but dirt. So we are part of that prophecy.
Yeah.
And we are going to do this, and we are going to be successful. And God has brought us, Pastor Jason, and I have to apologize because I was part of the leadership prior to Pastor Jason getting here. And the things that were happening in the church were not good. And I was part of that leadership. And I did help lead us out of that. But God brought Pastor Jason and Lisa here. We all know that. And we've seen it. We've seen the evidence. So let's all go all in and let's continue to fulfill the prophecy that God has placed on this property.
Amen. Amen. Guy, I thought you were about to apologize because you were on the leadership that helped bring us here. I'm teasing. All right, so there may be more questions. We'll talk afterwards. We can talk. We've got time, okay? I don't want to take too long, but I wanted to give you a little bit of time. But also, I want to do one more thing with you because I want you to help with the dream, okay? So our team's going to bring around a poster board and some markers to every table, and I'm going to ask you two, maybe three questions. I'm going to give you a couple minutes on each one. I'm going to invite you to help us with this dream. And so if at your table, if one person would would become the scribe and would just use that poster board to kind of take down what your table comes up with. And then we'll kind of hear from the tables here in just a minute, okay? So question number one is this, okay? All right, you're going to have to pay attention. All right? I haven't asked it yet. I'm about to. All right, y'all ready for the first question? The first question is this. If we renovate blank space, what could we do that we can't do now? Okay? So here's, I'm going to let you fill in the blank. If we renovate our lobby, our worship space, our kids' space, our youth space, y'all probably should do youth space, but everyone else, you pick, okay? Something as we talked grabbed your heart and you're like, oh man, I can't wait for that space to become what it is so that we can, Frank's gonna, I know, he's gonna talk, he's already dreaming about the coffee space back there, all right? So figure out, if we renovate this space, pick your space, what can we do that we can't do now? Go, you got 3 or 4 minutes, go. All right, so you probably didn't have quite enough time, but I'd love to hear from a couple of you, or maybe all, we'll see. So Jace is going to bring the microphone and tell us what space you were excited about, and then share with us kind of what you thought about. If we do this, here's some things that we can do that we can't do now. Who wants to go first? Anyone? Mitch wants to. I knew Mitch would talk.
All right, so many of you may not know this about Andrew, but he's really up there. He's very subdued, and he kind of stands there playing the guitar, and it's great. We all love it. But what you don't know is inside, he's just going like this, right?
He's a rocker.
And so I said this personally because I know this about him. I mean, I just feel it. If we renovate the worship stage, there's just more room for him to start just going around, and then really when the Holy Spirit gets him, he's just going to just turn around the guitar and just break, smash it. Yeah. So that was all fake, really. So if we renovated the outdoor space, I feel like this immediate community, hearing what you said about reaching our community, I've seen other churches do it well where there's just a very inviting space for the community to come. Yeah. And they know it's just a safe space. Denomination isn't important. Affiliation isn't important.
Yeah.
It them just knowing that, hey, somebody in this community cared enough about this area. And then that will invoke questions of like, well, what is this building?
Yeah.
Maybe we should come and check it out. And so I think that's, we were all really excited for the outdoor space.
And you know, we put a good picture of the front that shows, so I talked mainly about the outdoor space on the back, but if you saw, we actually have some space included on the front as well. So like right here, all of this is currently parking spaces. So we're going to lose some spaces to be able to expand that. And, you know, we've got some planters built in there. And so there's kind of two different outdoor spaces. And I love that you guys were excited about that. That's awesome. Who else? Who wants to share? Anyone? Did anyone else get excited?
We had written on the gathering space out back.
Yeah.
That if it kind of ties into the kitchen, that maybe in the future even start serving meals or have some kind of food.
Yeah, and the kitchen will stay right where it's at, and it does. It feeds right out into that space that then goes to the outdoor space. So that's awesome. Who else? Who else? We'll go here, then we'll go to Jennifer.
We were discussing... if we were to renovate our lobby space, we can fellowship more, provide a place for nursing moms, welcome visitors better, give people better access to Harvest, different centers, kids, youth, etc.
Yes. Hey, isn't that a cool space? Look at that. Isn't that awesome? So Frank yelled out fellowship because I went on a rant the other day because I hate that word. I hate that word, but... Yes, we can fellowship. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it. It's just, it's a churchy word, and it used to, I don't know. I have issues. I'm in counseling. It's all right. Yeah, pray for me. What were y'all excited about?
Well, this is funny because I went to the ladies' room and totally missed it. But you got to realize a lot of people at this table have been around here a long time, and we're over here talking about the transition with Mike and all. But they were so excited, they took every space and made a comment.
Every space.
The first one is there'll be more room to gather in the lobby, yes. Which we all realize. The children's area will be safer.
Yes.
The youth will grow in the new area.
Amen.
I want to go to youth, by the way. The barbecue area will be great for everyone. And the building will be more attractive to others, and they will stop and come in.
Yes. Hey, put the back view up. Did any of y'all notice the fireplace? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Yeah. By the way, wouldn't it be cool if the senior pastor's office had a fireplace in it?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Do y'all want to share? I didn't mention what?
Where's our mother's room?
So can you go to the floor plan? So I didn't. There's honestly quite a bit of stuff that I didn't mention. So let me show you. The parking lot. So keep in mind that things are changing. This is not like absolute concrete, but this is the current rendering. So you see the atrium, the worship space. You see the mom's room off of the restrooms right there where the, thank you. That's where our offices currently are. And you'll see that it actually has access through the ladies' restroom, which is really awesome. And then come back out for me, Tyler. And then you'll see, so that's you have the main entrance, the reception, and then you have the check-in, that's the kids, indoor play area, large elementary, small group back there, keep going, you've got the gathering space, kitchen stays where it's at, food pantry moves to the corner next to the kitchen, and then the student worship student worship space. By the way, and again, a lot of you, this won't excite you, but part of this too is fixing some things that we've been kind of fighting over the last several years. And so we've had a lot of leaks on the back part of our building, and we've patched a lot of them, but there's been a couple that continue to give us problems. So we're working right now on a couple of options that would enable us to have a brand new roof on that entire back part, because we don't want to put all this money into all of this and then still have leaks, right? So that's some stuff as well. So, cool?
Yes, just because they don't have nothing to hear over there. I mean, they can hear,
yeah.
But they don't see anything. And I don't think a lot of people even know we have that back there for the mothers.
And here's what you have to think. So all of this is going to, you know, all walls are going to be open, ceilings are going to be open. So we're going to be able to do some things with infrastructure that just isn't, it's just not there right now, right? I mean, you can't just add a, you know, camera, you know, and then a, you know, into the, a monitor into the room in there. I mean, you've got to have the infrastructure. And that's been the challenge, is we kind of run into those roadblocks of, man, we'd love to do this, but you just can't really with what we have, right? So, all right. So I have one more question. Y'all want to do it? You want to say something? Yes. I can't talk about that, though. Millie, you have an answer? Yeah, where's the, come on. Tell us about it.
If we renovate the youth room, we can have an actual stage/worship altar section. We don't have an altar at the moment. We can get better, not green lighting, because our lighting is currently green.
It matches our chairs.
Yeah, exactly. Update the chairs, update the lighting.
Exactly.
We're excited about bathrooms. Our youth group is growing quickly, and we could use some room for that movement.
Yes.
And also, it'll be cool to have like a hangout space separate from our service space, because that can be awkward sometimes.
There you go. Love it. All right, do y'all have enough energy for one more question? All right, I think you're going to like this one. All right. So I shared with you phases 1 through 4, okay? Now dream for a minute. What are phases 5 through 10? What are phases 5 through 10? I didn't hear what you said, but I'm sure it was awesome. Axe throwing. All right, so take a couple minutes. We get all of this done, then what do we do? Where do we keep going? Okay, dream. Phases 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however far you want to go. 3 minutes, go. All right, I want to hear your dreams. But I want to hear them. I want to hear them pretty fast. I don't need explanation. All right, I just want to hear your dreams. So we're gonna start over here. Just give us the next couple of phases that you think could happen as we move forward. All right, go.
Oh shoot!
Quick.
Quick. Okay. We're gonna plant new churches, a Bible college, parenting classes, and marriage and counseling. Kids camp here, young adult ministries between the age of 18 and 30, and also junior high programs.
Yeah, love it. All right, just keep going to each table. Abby's up. I saw Rena told her. She volunteered her.
I didn't. Oh, that's loud. Okay, I'm sorry. So that we have growth in our students because like our like facility's getting bigger,
yep.
Like our students should get bigger
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
And so then that we have a full worship team because for youth? Our youth group.
Yes.
Because it's like two to three people up there.
Yeah.
So and then we can host youth events.
Yeah. Love it. All right, just come right here. Who's up? Amanda?
We're gonna add second levels to other areas so that we can have a college ministry area. We're gonna have ministry buildings so that we can help the sick and the needy and add to our food pantry, transportation to and from church to help pick up youth or kids or handicapped or whatever the situation is that we need to reach our community, a video audio room for all kinds of exciting things, and a security area. Where did my husband go? That was his idea.
A sniper tower.
Yes, yeah. Yes, all that.
Sniper yeah. y'all wanna weigh in? Noah.
So we have ministry school.
That's a theme.
Ministry school, men/women's hunting and fishing group. live stream to the website. Build on the Rio Rancho land, I guess getting a new another location. And our last one we have is Never Forget, Everyone Matters.
That's awesome. Good job. All right, come over here. I'm keeping Jay's getting his exercise tonight.
Is it Mitch or
someone else?
Mitch is always talking.
Mitch has got
to give
list.
It to somebody else.
Let Ashley do that. Give it to Ashley.
Harvest Tejeda.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. I wonder why. Wait. Does Mitch want to be the pastor out there?
No.
I was going to say, he already lost his license. So.
Community and church conferences here, School of Ministry, an outdoor play park area, and enhanced security.
That's awesome. Go right here.
Oh, come on, Karen.
Okay, we had the indoor basketball gym with the rock climbing wall.
Yeah.
We had our archery range. We have the perfect space for it back where the playground is currently. Daycare and school, more staff, more members, another whole campus.
Yes. Right there. Y'all are dreaming. This is awesome. Come on.
Okay, so from what I've been through in my life, and based on what you said over there, everybody matters.
Yes.
So what a big thing is a recovery outreach. A lot of people don't feel comfortable just coming straight into worship. You know,
yeah.
So what we put was a new believer room, next steps. We also put a pool and a spa with a pond.
A pool, a spa, and a pond. Does the pond have trout?
Well, there was ice. There was a lot of things discussed,
okay.
Too. But basically, like a stress relief, calm down room.
Harvest Ranch.
Yeah, so yeah, on that level. Go big or go home.
That's awesome.
The one thing she forgot was a music school of worship. So school of ministry, school of worship keeps That's being a awesome. Common theme.
All right, last one. Y'all have anything to add to it? Library? I wonder who said that.
Not me.
Two things. Bring your own, to take your own library, like exchange place, and planting and releasing churches.
Yes, so. That's awesome. Wow, that was fun. We're going to keep those. I want to keep those because we're going to see what God does. You just spoke it into existence. We're about to go. On your way out, you're going to get three things, okay? Help us. You can go out the center doors so that we can make sure that we get this in your hands. So you're going to get a brochure that details a lot of what we've covered tonight. It'll show you the floor plan and pictures and some descriptions there. And then in the back, it goes into some detail about the one fund, the commitment card, how we're going to do that, the budget, those sorts of things. You also are going to get a save the date card. So this will kind of outline, again, we're tentatively saying this is the plan. We're just going to see what happens in the world, okay? But you have the all-in prayer night, state of the church, next gen Sunday, neighborhood Easter parties, Easter, and then advanced commitment party. If you'll put this on your calendar, April the 17th, we're going to gather back together, and we're going to ask, we're asking you from now to then to ask the Lord what your all-in, you know, commitment is, and we're going to make a commitment before we ask the rest of the church to make a commitment, our 30th anniversary party, and then all in Sunday. And Ben's showing me Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. I believe that. And then you're going to get a commitment card. And it's not because I'm asking you for a commitment now. It's because I'm asking you to pray about it. Take this, stick it in your Bible or on your mirror or in your dash or wherever it is that you'll see it that'll remind you just to begin to ask the Lord what he would have you to do. So you'll get those on the way out. Here's my ask of you tonight. Three things. Will you pray with me? And will you join me on the 21st for prayer? Will you pray about your commitment? What is God asking you and your family to do? How are you to participate? And then will you join me on the 17th of April for our advanced commitment party? So that's really my three asks of you tonight. So can we pray together? Have you enjoyed this? Has it been fun? Thank you for your excitement. I can tell that you are excited about this, and I just can't wait to see what God has in store as we take this faith step. I'll tell one story, and then we're going to pray. I went home. I told my dad early on, we had got the first draft from the architect. He knew that we wanted to pull the stairs out, and I came home with what I showed you, and he looks at it for a minute, and he goes, I said, Dad, what do you think? He goes, it's going to be really expensive. That was the very first thing he said. And I said, Dad, the last time that Harvest had a God-sized dream, you were their pastor. I said, it's time, don't you think? I mean, don't you think it's time? Like, we've been taking faith steps, but it's time, you know, like, is it Mother May I, right? What we're asking God right now is, God, can we take one gigantic step, right? And I think he's saying yes. But it's going to take so much faith, so much trust. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to dream tonight with some of my amazing friends. Lord, we just commit this entire dream to you, and we ask for your help. Lord, all we want to do is what you're asking us to do, when you're asking us to do it, how you're asking us to do it. We just want to do what you're asking, Lord. But we believe that you want to advance your kingdom here in Taylor Ranch, in the west side of Albuquerque, and across our city. So, Lord, we're saying yes to everything you're calling us to. Lord, I believe that over these next 2 years, you are going to stretch us as a church, and you're going to stretch us individually. Lord, I believe we are going to grow in our relationship with you. We're going to grow in our faith. We're going to grow in our trust. We're going to grow in so many ways. And that may be more exciting than what's going to happen to our building. Lord, throughout this, we're going to get to know you better. Lord, will you guide us every step of the way? Put us in the right places and the right times with the right people and the right relationships, the right connections, Lord, so that this vision can happen, so that more people can find you, so that lives can be changed, so that marriages can be restored, so that healing could happen, so that this city could be transformed. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. We just commit all of this to you. We say we're all in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for being here tonight. If you have questions, I'll be sticking around. Our board is here as well, and they can answer questions. Thank you so much.